Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday, and Rod Murray is here from Associated Bank. Rod is the Chicago Market President at Associated. Rod, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve.
It's an interesting story. I know the U.S. pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement, but there was a U.N. meeting recently, and the idea of responsible banking came up because there was a number of banks, international banks, that have signed on to these principles for responsible banking, as they're called. It sounds like a good idea. What's going on here?
Yeah, it is in line with the Paris Agreement, as you said, and it was timing on the UN General Assembly that took place in New York in September. Right? It's called Principles for Responsible Banking, and it was, I think, originally there were 28 financial institutions across the world that started this, and to date, I believe the number is certainly in the hundreds that have signed on, that essentially is committing to and promoting sustainability. You know, sustainability is a very broad word, but sustainability for environment, for your company, what you do, but also for the financial institutions. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It means probably, you know, providing more funds to companies who are engaged in sustainable capabilities.
240 by last count, mm-hmm. According to this article, if financial institutions worldwide had signed on. The U.S. is lagging in that a little bit. Do you think that's because we pulled out of that agreement?
I guess my guess would be has a little bit to do with it. You know, sometimes I think we're a follower on the global side of things when it's on the banking side as well, but yeah, to your point, I know Citi had signed on to it in June or July. I believe that there's one other bank in the U.S. that I recognize that has signed on who promotes a sustainability. But by and large, of those 240, I'm pretty sure that the vast majority are international and certainly European and Asian banks.
A big part of this is the transparency of how things happen in banks. I know that's generally not a thing that banks like to do, is be completely transparent. Give us a sense of what that would mean on the banking level.
I think it means a lot more disclosures, right? It's going to say disclosing not just what you're doing as an institution, the things that you can control, but probably transparency on who you're providing either grants to or maybe even disclosed lending to on that side of things. So that's what the transparency is.
And so that would give all the stakeholders involved the idea or at least the information they need to decide whether or not they want to continue a relationship with the banks.
Right. And you just mentioned, right, stakeholders, and they're a key part of this. And that could be a reason maybe why the U.S. is lagging is maybe the engagement on the stakeholders is maybe a slower education or maybe there's pushback there. I don't know for sure.
You're almost caught in between a rock and a hard place, aren't you? Because as a bank goes, you have to deal with all kinds of stakeholders, and not all of them are aligned on the same ideas.
Right. Stakeholders, then throw in the regulators, and all the banks in the world and the major banks certainly that have signed on this are subject to regulation. You throw a few more spokes in it on who's looking at you, and you're not just beholden to one party. You're beholden to many.
We'll stay tuned on principles for responsible banking. We'll see how that unfolds. I want to move on to something else. This has been in the news quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. The Federal Reserve of New York has been pumping money into the repo market to add a little liquidity in some of those financial areas, financial markets. Talk to us a little bit about why we should be concerned about this, if we need to be concerned. What's happening here?
Yeah, so this is, kind of one of those, I use the example, it's something that we never hear about, never talk about until something happens. And nothing's happened really in this market for 10 years. You know, it's like your furnace, right? Your furnace is just kind of hums along and it's great, but boy, the minute it breaks, it becomes really imperative to you and it gets your attention. So there was essentially a shortfall in liquidity versus capital. And it happened in September that the repos, let's start here, they kind of function as a short-term collateral-backed interest-bearing loan. So the buyer acts as the lender and the seller acts as the borrower, and then the securities that are being sold are the collateralized. So goals of all the parties are met, you know, from security and the liquidity standpoint. Happening at the end of a quarter, there was just all bad things maybe emerged. You had quarterly payments, the tax payments that were due, and you had also some settlements in the Treasury, and all of a sudden there was a shortfall of liquidity, and it caused the rates to spike up to 10%.
The last time that we had to use this, the U.S. had to use this, was at around the 2008 financial crisis, right?
Correct. Yeah, that was the last time. So, yeah, it's 10 years plus.
a lot of criticism over how the Fed does things from a lot of different corners. This is really an example of how the Fed is supposed to work, though, isn't it?
It is, and there's still going to be some criticism of the Fed even after they did pump in. I think there was $75 billion a day for about four days that they pumped in. So that is what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it. And then the next question is how can they maybe keep that from happening again? And they're talking about things that they can do. I think a standing overnight repo facility is one of the products that they're putting out there that could be a bridge to always kind of bridge this, you know, liquidity and capital need. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the total here is? I know it's been billions of dollars, isn't it?
In the that
the Fed has pumped into this market liquidity?
Oh, yes. It was, like I say, I was up to $75 billion for 4 days. I don't know if I have the exact number, Steve, but okay. Yeah, billions.
Something that we should keep on our radar and watch or no?
I think it's something that you know should know about, or we should know about, and see what they're going to do, you know, not looking back, but how they keep it from happening again. And it just, you know, it's not quite quantitative easing, but, you know, that could be, it's being compared to that on how they work with that. And what's the outlook of the banks and the dealer brokers, financial statements, and the capital of the Fed?
While we're talking about the Fed, I wanted to get your thoughts on where we might see the Fed fall in October. After the last time you were here, we talked about interest rates being cut again. It certainly looks like we might have another cut before the end of the year, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's certainly what my tea leaves and our tea leaves say, is that it's a very good chance, and I think the markets are building that in.
From a banking standpoint, that would be bad news, right?
That would right. be bad news. Yeah, on something we call net interest margin, right?
Sure.
So, you know, it depends on if you're a borrower or a saver on whether you think that's good news or bad news. Mm-hmm. But in an environment where we kind of spiked up and now we anticipated more, and instead the reverse has happened, and the anticipation is not just before the end of the year, but next year, certainly you're starting to build in a couple of potential decreases as well.
There was another story that jumped off the page, too. It was in Forbes. And I don't know if this is something that Associated does or you've seen this trend developing, but getting a loan to finance a wedding loan, is that a real thing?
It is, and I'm going to be careful not to get myself into trouble here. So it is a real thing, and no, we don't have the wedding loan that we're forecasting. It's mostly, I think, fintechs that are doing, or lenders are using the fintech platform to do it, where it's specifically marketed that you can go out and get a wedding loan, marketing it that is it cheaper or easier than your credit card, or you don't use your credit card exposure then to do it. So it's being used.
One of those fintechs, LendingTree, that was mentioned in this article, has seen 184% increase of wedding loans from 1 year to the next.
Right. If you remember the Field of Dreams, I think this is, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
So the reason that the percentage is so high is it's out there and available. So people will use it now where it wasn't available, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
So do you repossess the wedding? If something fails, do you repossess the banquet items? What happens?
I don't know for sure. I'm guessing that these are all unsecured loans. That's why the rates are what they are, which are pretty high.
Right. And an unsecured loan, talk to us a little bit about that, because I remember this being people would say, well, you just, it's a personal signature loan. You could get just a real quick short-term loan, something like that. That's sort of what we're talking about in the traditional bank setting, right?
Right, right. An unsecured loan, personal signature loan, you know, you're not putting collateral behind it of some kind, whether it's your house, your car, your mutual funds, your investments. It's being done on your credit scores, on your credit availability.
Is there some danger here in doing some of these loans? I know we've talked before about the fintech space and versus the banking space, but it seems to be that especially if you're getting $60,000 or $70,000 to do a wedding for a wedding loan, you might want to be a little careful about that.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I have to be careful not to get into trouble. I believe that it has potential. Look, I mean, people want to celebrate a very special day and a very important day, so they're spending money for it. I think that the difference here, or my take on the wedding loan, is you might spend more than you otherwise would have because you can get this loan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, a potential danger flaw on it is when times are good, it's what you're going to pay. If you ever have times that are hard, then it's kind of like the credit card debt or other things. This is something that you had for a night, and it's a great celebration, but you might be paying that off over 5+ years then.
Anything changed in the things you're hearing from the CEO crowd, from the C-suite crowd, about the economy, how the economy's doing?
It's really a mixed bag, Stevie. You know, it's so hard to say. what the indicators are. You know, one day you read some indicators and things look great and talk to the CEOs and the C-suite, and the next day it's, well, you know, we're seeing a slowdown here. Certainly the factory numbers, you know, weren't robust that just came out recently. But, you know, then you look at the consumer side and you say, we're not into big trouble there. Consumers are still bullish and they're still healthy and still spending money as an overall whole. So the C-suite is cautious. You know, I think that if you polled enough people, you'd get, you know, I don't know if it's 50-50 when I, on the CFOs of, is there going to be a slowdown? Is it the dreaded R word? I don't know if that is. Certainly it's not going to be like, we just talked about 10 or 11 years ago, but things could slow down and they probably will. But is it a quick slowdown and then do we ramp back up, or is it something that's going to log on and hold on to our economy for a while?
Okay, Rod. Well, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure, Steve. So they can email me at rodney.murray@associatedbank.com or call 312-544-4515.
Thanks as always for coming in. Good talk.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Rod Murray is the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank over at Twitter at Associated Biz, and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to hear more conversations and meet our thought leaders there. And we do it for you every Thursday right here on the opening bell.